Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Tuesday, August 25, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and independently fact-checked before broadcast. Here is the morning briefing. The Supreme Court has opened a path for the Trump administration to move ahead with its order restricting voting by mail, but the justices did not decide whether the order itself is lawful. The unsigned emergency decision found that the Democratic-led states challenging the policy had brought their case too early. The administration says the order is meant to promote election integrity. It calls for a federal list of eligible voters and directs the Postal Service to deliver mail ballots only to people on that list. The court's action concerns when the states may press their challenge. It does not settle the questions likely to dominate the next phase, including how the proposed federal list would operate and whether federal officials may impose those delivery conditions. Those issues remain for further litigation. A separate injunction still blocks the Postal Service from making procedural changes for the November midterms. That leaves the practical effect uncertain. The legal fight is restarting just as states are preparing to send their first ballots. North Carolina is scheduled to mail ballots to military and overseas voters on September 4th. The stakes are substantial. About 29% of voters cast ballots by mail in the 2024 election, according to the Federal Election Assistance Commission. States and voting rights groups argue that election administration is assigned to states and Congress. The administration says its proposed system protects the integrity of federal elections. More court action is expected quickly. On immigration, the administration is preparing what would be the largest mass visa revocation in American history. Associated Press reporting says the plan could affect up to 200,000 foreign nationals who have applied for asylum or are currently seeking it in the United States. The State Department would revoke business and tourism visas, potentially putting people at risk of removal even while their asylum cases remain unresolved. Officials say the move is part of a broader enforcement crackdown. Immigration advocates are preparing challenges and say the policy could raise due process questions. For people covered by the plan, the central concern is that an asylum claim can still be pending while the government reassesses the visa status under which that person entered or remained in the country. The proposal could therefore carry consequences before an immigration judge reaches the merits of an asylum case. It also arrives days after a federal judge in New York struck down a separate administration policy that had suspended immigrant visa processing for applicants from 75 countries. The judge ruled that the State Department had exceeded its authority. Those are different policies, but together they show how rapidly immigration rules are being tested in court. Trade tensions with Canada are intensifying. The United States imposed 50% tariffs on about $20 billion in Canadian goods over the weekend after negotiations collapsed. The tariffs cover more than 550 types of products, from food and consumer goods to building materials and sporting equipment. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says his government will announce retaliatory measures today. Canada had previously promised dollar-for-dollar retaliation beginning in September, though officials have signaled that the response could be targeted to protect Canadian workers and businesses. The dispute matters on both sides of the border because the two economies share deeply integrated supply chains in autos, energy, agriculture, steel, aluminum, and manufacturing. Products and materials can cross the border at more than one stage of production. That means a tariff can affect companies that use Canadian inputs as well as businesses directly importing finished goods. Tariffs are paid first by importers. Businesses can absorb those costs, pass some along to consumers, or change suppliers. The duration of the dispute will help determine how broadly its effects are felt. The White House is also weighing a separate new tariff on China. According to people familiar with the deliberations who spoke to the Associated Press, the administration is considering a 7.5% levy aimed at Chinese goods it says are underpriced in world markets. That proposal is not final. The official said the rate was designed to avoid disrupting the one-year trade truce with Beijing and a possible Trump-Xi meeting expected late next month. It would be another attempt to reshape trade policy after the Supreme Court earlier struck down the administration's broad high tariff program. In Nevada, firefighters have made progress against the Hawk Fire near Reno, but the damage is already serious. The human-caused fire has destroyed more than 30 homes in the Sierra Nevada foothills and burned about 23 square miles. Officials reported 27% containment on Monday and said there had been no new growth by the afternoon. At the fire's peak, authorities urged roughly 90,000 people to evacuate or prepare to leave, and at least six people were reported injured, including three first responders. The reported containment is an encouraging sign, but it does not reverse the destruction or end the need for crews to watch the fire line. Conditions can still change with wind, heat, and dry vegetation. Officials are continuing both the firefighting effort and the investigation into how the fire began. The cause has been described as human-caused, but authorities have not said whether it was intentional or accidental. The fire began Saturday in the Peavine Peak area north of Reno, where dry brush, wind, and neighborhoods close to forest land created a fast-moving danger. Fire risk remains elevated across parts of the West this week because of hot, dry, and breezy conditions. In California, the state Supreme Court heard arguments over a different election dispute, whether Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco must return roughly 650,000 ballots from a 2025 special election. Bianco's office seized about 1,000 boxes of election materials in March after a local group questioned the count in a redistricting vote. County officials had said the complaint was unfounded and that the alleged discrepancy would not have changed the result. The sheriff says the materials are evidence in an investigation and that he acted under state law. California Attorney General Rob Bonta argues that the sheriff had no authority to seize ballots from county election officials. The case is separate from the federal mail voting dispute, but it also concerns who has control over election materials and how public confidence is protected. A ruling has not yet been issued. And the White House ballroom project can continue for now. Chief Justice John Roberts issued a temporary order Friday that paused lower court rulings which would have halted above-ground construction. The Trump administration says the roughly $400 million project is tied to security needs. Opponents say Congress must approve major changes to the White House complex. Roberts' one-page order did not decide the underlying legal dispute. It keeps work moving while the full Supreme Court considers the administration's emergency request. Overseas, the United States has widened its pressure campaign on Iran. Treasury announced sanctions against nearly 60 Iran-linked people and entities connected to nuclear and missile activity, cyber operations, and oil shipments. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said countries and businesses that maintain economic ties with Tehran could face U.S. retaliation under expanded secondary sanctions. The measures target companies in places including China and Hong Kong, as well as networks the United States says helped Iran obtain sensitive equipment or move oil. Secondary sanctions seek to extend pressure beyond the people and entities directly named by the United States. That is why businesses and countries with continued economic links to Tehran are watching the action closely. Iran has condemned the effort and warned of a harsh response. The wider conflict is already affecting energy markets and shipping. Before the war began in late February, roughly one-fifth of globally traded oil moved through the Strait of Hormuz. Oil remains well above its pre-war level even after recent price declines, which is one reason this development matters to households and businesses far beyond the region. Ukraine and Russia are also pressing attacks far from the front lines. Ukraine said it struck Russia's Afipsky oil refinery in the Krasnodar region overnight, causing a fire. Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, issued a decree that could allow temporary state control of assets at critical sites after the recent deep Ukrainian drone attacks. The fighting has increasingly affected civilian economic infrastructure. Russia and Ukraine are major grain exporters, and attacks on Black Sea ports, vessels, and related facilities have delayed or canceled cargoes during the peak export season. Reliable movement through those ports is important to the wider grain trade, so disruption can reach shipping markets and food supplies well beyond the region. President Volodymyr Zelensky has said there will be a diplomatic track with Russia on the stepped-up Black Sea attacks, but neither side has announced an agreement. The immediate concern is the risk to shipping, food supplies, and energy infrastructure as the war continues. Now to the economy and markets. These are final closes from Monday, August 24th, the most recent completed U.S. trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 140.15 points, or 0.26%, to close at 53,417.6. The S&P 500 fell 21.51 points, or 0.28%, to 7,652.86. The Nasdaq Composite lost 200.26 points, or 0.76%, closing at 25,980.19. Technology shares weighed on the S&P 500 and Nasdaq while the Dow finished higher. The mixed session showed that the market was not moving in a single direction as investors prepared for a consequential week for both stocks and bonds. Major corporate earnings, fresh inflation data, and Federal Reserve signals are all still ahead. Nvidia is scheduled to report earnings on Wednesday. Its results matter well beyond one company because it is Wall Street's largest and most influential beneficiary of the artificial intelligence investment boom. On Friday, the Commerce Department is due to release its preferred inflation measure, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. the reading will be closely watched because inflation data can influence expectations for interest rates. Also this week, Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh is expected to speak at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. Traders and borrowers will be listening for clues about how the Fed views inflation, interest rates, and the recent rise in longer-term bond yields. The central point is that Monday's market figures are final closes, not futures or early trading indications. What happens later today may differ, especially with major corporate earnings and economic data still ahead. In sports, the Los Angeles Dodgers arrive in Atlanta on a 6-game winning streak after finishing a 3-game sweep of Pittsburgh with a 4-0 shutout Sunday. Blake Snell allowed only 2 hits in 6 scoreless innings, and the Dodgers became the second major league team to reach 80 wins, joining Milwaukee. The Dodgers had lost 11 of 16 before the streak, making the turnaround especially welcome as the postseason picture sharpens. Their series with the Braves begins tonight, and both clubs are in the race for a first-round playoff bye. The matchup gives Los Angeles an immediate test after its recent recovery and puts two playoff contenders directly against each other. Los Angeles is also moving closer to a fully healthy rotation, with Tyler Glasnow due back and Shohei Ohtani expected to return to pitching soon after. College football is dealing with another eligibility problem just as the season begins. A recent NCAA rule allows athletes 5 seasons of competition over 5 years. But the rule's application has triggered lawsuits from players in the high school class of 2022, many of whom had already exhausted 4 years of eligibility. The result is unusual. Some athletes who left college, tried professional football, and now want to return to college teams. One prominent case involves Daquan Wright, an undrafted tight end from Mississippi who had NFL tryouts and now has an agreement to play at LSU. A federal appeals court has temporarily halted one lower court order that had opened the door for some athletes to return, but state court rulings are producing different results. At least 26 eligibility cases have been filed in state and county courts, according to a litigation tracker cited by the Associated Press. The uncertainty affects roster spots, scholarships, transfer rules, and players who expected those positions to be available. A quick scoreboard from the most notable recent results. In baseball, the Dodgers blanked the Pirates 4-0. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 8-3. The Phillies topped the Cardinals 6-4. And the Royals beat the Tigers 11-7. In the WNBA, the Indiana Fever beat the Chicago Sky 113-90. Caitlin Clark had 37 points and 10 assists as Indiana won on the road. Finally, in entertainment, actor and singer Shelley Fabares has died in Los Angeles at 82. Her family announced the death and did not provide a cause. Fabares became a household name as Mary Stone on The Donna Reed Show and recorded the 1961 number one hit Johnny Angel. Her career stretched across decades of television, including One Day at a Time and the long-running sitcom Coach, where she played Christine Armstrong and received 2 Emmy nominations. She also appeared in films with Elvis Presley and later became an advocate for Alzheimer's awareness after the disease affected her mother. Fabares was married to actor Mike Farrell from 1984 until her death. Her family remembered her for her kindness, humor, and courage. That is the briefing for this Tuesday. Major questions around voting and immigration policy, a widening trade fight, emergency work in Nevada, pressure on Iran, and a crucial week for markets. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Take care. Check out the article about AIN on AIbusiness.vc. Find the link in today's episode description.